It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, welcome in to this March Madness edition of Overtime here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. As always, I have my producer, Cole McCormick, on the ones and twos up there in the producer's perch, tag teaming it once again, Cole, on another abbreviated edition of the show. Only up with you until 7 o'clock tonight, as we did last night due to tournament coverage here. We'd like to thank the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty for providing live coverage of your first round action right here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, and as always on the Fan Run app or on the live stream as well. But Cole, no shortage of things to talk about today.
No.
First day of the tournament. It's only 6 o'clock, and we still got so many games that are yet to tip off.
Yeah.
Started today at 12:15 with Minnesota-Louisville, and it's not going to end until about midnight tonight.
Mm. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
And guess what? We get to do the whole thing over again tomorrow, including Tennessee Colgate.
Yeah.
Which is less than 24 hours away from tipping off up there in Columbus. Our own Trey Wallace of It's Optional is en route up to Columbus, Ohio. Got to see him a little bit over at Elkmont Exchange. That's where I just returned from about less than an hour ago. Spent a few hours out there with a lot of people from the Fan Run crew. Got to sit in on It's Optional and most of the drive as well. Man, had a fantastic time out there at Elkmont Exchange. Be sure to come out and join us for the Fan Run Radio Watch Party once Tennessee tips off with Colgate about 2:45 tomorrow. Cole, I told you what I had. Do you want me to repeat what I had from Elkmont today?
Yeah, let the people know. It sounded delicious.
Took advantage of the lunch special, which is you can choose your choice of an appetizer or a salad, plus your choice of entree, which is usually, I think it was just their burgers, but fantastic burgers. They got a wide variety of them.
Sure.
You do it, and you only pay $10.
It's not bad.
I got me, for my appetizer, I got me some smoked wings with the spicy dry rub.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
Oh, it was so good.
Making me hungry.
It burned my lips. Mm. Did burn my lips, but it was worth it, though. It was a good burn.
Okay.
And I got me a classic, man. I got me the Elkmont burger.
You can't beat a classic.
Got the Elkmont burger with everything on it. Oh, it was so fresh.
You know, they call it a classic because it's a classic.
It really is,
that's,
man.
That's where they get it.
Everything about that burger, like from the bun.
Yeah.
Bun's so good and soft. Oh, the 2 4-ounce patties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the cheese.
All the cheese.
Oh, the onion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. Make me hungry again. And I took about, took me in three of their house brewed beers as well.
Okay.
Had me three different ones. Had me the light lager.
Okay.
Had me the old gold.
Okay.
Which is just their traditional, just American lager.
Sure.
And I tried the recluse, which is an American brown ale.
Okay.
Very interesting beverages, and I loved them all.
Sounds delicious.
I hate that I will not be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I will be in, well, by the time the game tips off, I will already be in the mid-state.
Okay.
But Tennessee does what they're supposed to do tomorrow, takes care of Colgate. Then I'll see you out there Sunday.
Yeah. Whew, I'm planning on going tomorrow. I am.
Hey, you're gonna have a fun time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Going to be a lot of people there tomorrow to take in the game with us as well. A pretty decent crowd today, but, I mean, there wasn't a lot of people. I mean, you know, understand that. We weren't playing yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are probably going to take off work more tomorrow just because Tennessee is playing. But still a good crowd out there just to take in some of the tournament action, man.
Sure.
And what great games we have had already here, even though we have to see the big upset yet, man. We've come very close. Belmont went down by a couple to Maryland. That had a chance for a half-court opportunity.
Yeah, just a little short.
It was a lot short. Dude missed that by about half a mile.
Yeah, he didn't really put a lot into it.
Pretty sad. The dude who shot it was the dude I told you who looked like a gigantic Tyler Bray.
Okay.
Really does look a lot like him in the face.
Okay.
Except a lot bigger. A New Mexico State man, Auburn and Bruce Pearl, just about choked it away. They could not stop New Mexico State from hitting threes at the end of that game.
Yeah.
New Mexico State, which this dude needs to catch hell over this. They had that last possession where they were only down two, mm-hmm. so they could have tied it to send it to most likely would have been overtime with the amount of time left on the clock.
Yeah.
Dude has a chance to get a layup. Now, who knows if it would have been blocked. But the speed he was heading towards the rim, I thought he was going to take an easy layup.
That's what it looked like, yeah.
But no, he swings it back outside the perimeter. Dude from New Mexico State takes a three. Gets fouled by Bryce Brown, though. Mm. So he had the opportunity to take the lead.
Yeah.
If he made all three foul shots, he missed the first, hit the second, and then missed the last one. However, the last one, though, goes out of bounds off of Auburn. So New Mexico State once again had a chance to win the game with a little over a second left. Gets a shooter in the corner, air ball.
Golly.
Air ball, man.
Golly, dude.
How are you going to be that bad? So you are really close to two upsets today already.
Yeah.
Yale, credit to them, man. Very smart people. They're going to be heads of Fortune 500 companies. They're going to be politicians. They're going to be doctors. They're going to be architects, whatever. The Yale basketball team has a bright future.
They do.
Damn it, they tried hard, but LSU was too much for them.
Yeah. Yeah, like I told you, already three losses in my bracket.
Oh!
Both brackets, I might add.
Ouch!
I did one earlier this morning, and yeah, three losses in both. So I'm not feeling great about it, but, you know, you never know what could happen down the road.
Rough stuff, man. You had some other close calls. Vermont kept their game against Florida State very tight throughout, but FSU pulls away late to win that 1-7. Bradley, it looked like for the longest time they could have pulled off something against Michigan State, the 15-2 matchup.
Yeah.
That would have been two losses to a 15 seed in 3 years for Tom Izzo and the Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
But Sparty pulls away late and wins that 1-11 there. What are close calls do we have here? I already told you Maryland 1-2 over Belmont. Poor Rick Bird. That's the only close call so far today. Your only real upset, and I never consider 10-7 to be a real upset. Minnesota took care of Louisville by 10, 86-76.
Game
pissed me off. I had two brackets just like you, Cole. Each of them, I thought Louisville would win pretty handily.
Yeah, I did too.
I was not a believer in Minnesota. I don't care what they did to Purdue in the Big Ten tournament. Minnesota was trash for most of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare season for Louisville, though. It was going so well. Then the Duke game happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then they blew a double-digit lead against Virginia. And they just started losing games they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
And now they stumble into the NCAA tournament as a 7 seed. And they get rocked by Minnesota. A Minnesota team, Cole, who coming into this tournament, of all, and not just the teams in the tournament, of all major conference teams,
yeah,
period, this season, Minnesota was the worst three-point shooting team. I want you to guess how many threes Minnesota hit today.
11.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
11 of 27.
Oh, that was a shot in the dark.
Minnesota just drains 11 threes right in Louisville's face. Louisville has no response. The Golden Gophers and Richard Pitino. That had to also really, really suck for Louisville to lose that to Rick Pitino's son.
Oh, you know that had to sting just even more. Oh, little Pitino.
I mean, Louisville couldn't stop most of these players from Minnesota. That Jordan Murphy kid, that big dude they had, I mean, he was just dominant down low. He was also knocking down a few threes. Kalsher, I don't know, that's how you say his name. He hit 5 threes. Yeah, he was the leading scorer, 24 points.
Man.
And Louisville, a team that's known for a lot of good shooting, they only hit 9 threes. They only shot 44% from the field, period. Very disappointed in you, Louisville.
Yeah.
Very disappointed in you, yeah. Number one Kid Rock fan, Chris Mack.
Yeah.
Damn it. So no real upsets.
No, not really.
Does this make you nervous that since there hasn't been upsets yet, that Tennessee might be on upset alert tomorrow?
No.
Just because of superstition? You don't feel like that?
I'm not a superstitious guy. No.
Maybe we can do to Colgate tomorrow what Kansas is doing to Northeastern right now.
Yes, that's what I want.
That was sort of a not a trendy upset pick, but a lot of people had that.
Sure.
In one of my brackets, I did have that.
Yeah.
I feel like every year there's a random upset that you really don't think is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I try to predict it. In one of my brackets, I said, hey, Northeastern over Kansas. They do have a win over a major conference team. They did beat Alabama pretty handily earlier in the
sure.
season. I know Alabama sucks. I get it. I know they lost to Norfolk State in the NIT, which is pretty damn funny.
I
was on 3 and Out this morning producing. Yeah, I've been here all day, basically.
That is something, buddy.
I'm a company man, Cole.
You are. You are.
I mean, I'm doing the first show and I'm doing the last show.
Man, what a guy.
But this morning on 3 and Out, though, the topic of Alabama and the NIT got brought up. And we were looking at, so if there's a field of 68 in the NCAA tournament, and you were looking at the teams that were in the NIT, Alabama was technically considered the number one overall seed in the NIT.
Yeah.
And they looked at Norfolk State's overall ranking. They're like way deep in the 200s.
Really?
So technically you would consider Norfolk State to be the worst team in the NIT. The worst team in the NIT beat the best team in the NIT.
Hey, what happens in the NIT stays in the NIT.
Poor Avery Johnson. Poor Alabama.
Oh, yeah. You just hate to see it.
Hate to see it there.
Oh, so much positivity.
But that's
one
of the reasons I picked Northeastern. Cole, Northeastern's currently down 75-49 under 4 in the second half there. Kansas is going to roll to the second round there. And we got Murray State and Marquette back in action here. Murray State.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, was that and one for John? John Morant with the and one. Chance for Murray State to go up 14 here.
Let's go.
Pretty happy at both my brackets. I did pick Murray State.
So did I.
If there was one really trendy upset pick,
it is that.
This was that.
I mean, it kind of felt like Murray State was the team with the higher seed.
Did you see John Morant's stat line?
No.
He's got 12 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. Cole, there's 18 minutes left. He could get a triple-double.
Who's
the last person to record a triple-double in the tournament?
Let me look it up.
I feel like that's very hard to do. Because that's hard enough to do in college basketball as it is.
Sure.
Just because style plays not as fast as in the NBA. You have less time in a game than in the NBA. Marquette trying to hang around. Man, if I was a Marquette fan and I saw that draw, I would have immediately abandoned all hope.
Yeah.
Just because the way your team's kind of been reeling a little bit near the end of the season.
And you're playing John Morant, arguably probably a top five player in all of college basketball.
We were checking mock drafts. He's probably a top three.
Yeah.
Oh, and he just threw one down. John Morant's going off right now.
He's a man.
He is going off right now. Oh, he got the lob this time. John Morant, usually the one dishing out assists to his teammates. Oh, he got the assist from the big guy, Cole.
Ooh.
You know, you remember the big guy, big number 32 down there?
Hard
to miss him.
Yeah, he's a chunk.
Ooh. This is going to be the big John Morant versus Marcus Howard type of game. Marcus Howard's got about 20 right now. But, man, he missed that one. I thought he made that somehow. But Murray State just taking it to Marquette right now, up 13. A lot of time left. So this one could still be dramatic by the time it's over, but John Morant currently going off on Marquette.
I found who has triple doubles in the NCAA tournament.
Who's the last one?
Officially, there have been 7 official players.
Okay.
So I
assume that since they made assist an official stat, which was until about the early 80s, I think.
7 official players, and then let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 unofficial.
So who's the last official person?
Draymond Green.
Really?
He did it twice, 2011 and 2012.
In the tournament?
Yeah.
Okay.
If John Morant does this list of names is incredible. Let me read you off the official ones.
Okay, so we got Draymond. Okay.
Gary Grant from Michigan, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know him. Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, Shaq. He probably had it with blocks.
Yeah. David Kane, St. John's, in 1993. Andre Miller of Utah in 1998.
I'm not going to pretend to know who either of those two know. Are.
How about this one? Dwayne Wade. Yeah, in 2003 against Kentucky.
I know Andre Miller. I remember Andre Miller. Damn. I didn't know he went to Utah. Yeah, he played for the Nuggets for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, I know Andre Miller. That's right.
Cole Aldridge from Kansas in 2009 against Dayton.
Cole Aldridge had a triple-double?
13 points, 20 rebounds, 13 blocks against...
13 blocks?
against Dayton in 2009. And then Draymond Green, 2011 against UCLA, 2012 against...
Wait, if he was playing... Oh, he was playing... I thought you said he played Davidson for a while.
No, Dayton.
I'm like, was he blocking Steph Curry?
No, Draymond Green in 2011 against UCLA, and then Draymond Green in 2012 against Long Island. Now, listen to these unofficial. These, I think, are almost even more impressive.
Let's hear it.
Unofficial. First one, 1953. B.H. Bourne from Kansas. Never heard of him. But he had one. So the first one, but it was unofficial. Next, Oscar Robertson at Cincinnati in 1959 against Louisville. Next, Artis Gilmore from Jacksonville. He might have done it twice too, 70 and 71.
Mm.
And then listen to this, another two-time player, Magic Johnson.
Michigan
State, 79. He did both of his came in 79, the first one against Lamar. And then later in the tournament against Penn. So 2 in 1 year.
Why did it take basketball so long to recognize assist as an official stat?
I don't know. And then, oh my goodness. And then the last one that's unofficial, Larry Bird. Also in 1979 and also against Penn.
Woo.
So Penn had to play Magic Johnson and Larry Bird
Ooh.
in the tournament.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So they both had to play him. That's when they still had the third place game, I would imagine.
I believe so, because this says Larry Bird did it against Penn in the Final Four of 79. Magic Johnson did it against Penn. It doesn't say what round, but it says 1979.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a pretty solid list of names.
I got curious about the Cole Aldridge thing. So, yeah, March 22nd, 09. By the way, this was the first official triple-double in the history of Kansas basketball.
Wow.
So you think about the legends to play for Kansas.
Yeah.
It wasn't 13 blocks, by the way. It was only 10.
Oh, was it?
But getting 10 blocks is still pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
60-43 win over Dayton. Woo, just dominated them. So Ja Morant trying to chase a little bit of history here. Go ahead and hit this first break, 865-546-8200. Talk a little bit about Tennessee Colgate. Coming up here on the other side as well, our last-minute expectations. And since the game, we're not even doing a show tomorrow just because I won't be here. Just going to go ahead and throw that out here. Everyone else is still on spring break. Daniel Bratman's in the Bahamas. Julia's trying to get back from the Bahamas.
Trying to get back, yeah.
Rick is God knows where.
He's a world traveler.
I don't even know where Rick Butler's at. Yeah. Intern.
Ben.
Ben, yeah. Almost said Ryan. Ryan's the other intern for the drive. Ben's back in Texas. He's in Florida.
He went to Miami, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Florida. So everyone else is gone, but even if we did do a show, the game would be over by the time we get on air tomorrow anyway.
Man,
so
every good grief. When everybody gets back, everybody's going to be so tan.
I know, right?
And look at us.
I'm like the palest person at the station.
I'm like Casper the Friendly Ghost over here.
I wonder who's the palest person at the station. I think I could give Russell a run for his money.
I'd probably have to say Russell.
Do you think Davey's pretty pale? Like right now?
Right now, probably. I feel like we're all pretty pale right now.
That is true.
We're coming out of winter.
Still yet to really warm up.
Yeah.
I stay pale, though. Anyway, hit this break here, 865-546-8200. So a little bit of Tennessee Colgate talk on the other side. You are listening to Overtime here on Fan Run Radio. I know we keep talking about him, but man, John Morant, really good basketball player.
Insane.
Murray State has extended this to 17. John Morant already has a double-double. There is still just under 14 minutes left in the game. He is 3 rebounds away from a triple-double.
Yeah. Would you consider this a big upset? Even, I mean, it's 12 over 5.
I'm considering this the first real upset of the tournament, but it's not a big one.
Yeah.
12 over 5s could be considered a big upset sometimes. I guess just depending on the teams that are playing. But, man, a lot of people had Murray State in this one. A lot of people picked Murray State to advance to the second round. I don't know how many people have Murray State like going to the Sweet 16 and beyond. But if you've paid like a little attention to college basketball this year, you know about John Morant. You know about the upset potential in this game.
Yeah.
So that's what I figured out without really doing like a deep analysis. Just because I paid attention to Marquette's results and that, man, they've been losing games they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
It's just been a rough go of things for them a little bit lately here. Talk a little bit about Tennessee Colgate. That one tips off about 2:45 tomorrow. We talked a lot about yesterday as well. Cole, has the needle moved for you at all as far as your feelings go in this game? Are you still pretty confident in a sort of relaxing victory?
Yeah, I'm still pretty confident. As I said yesterday, I haven't looked at the line or anything, the spread. I know it was 17.5. Don't know if it's gone down or up any, but I'm still right at that mark. I think Tennessee is honestly going to have their way with them. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 17-point win, an 18-point win or more. But honestly, a win's a win. If it's close, I'm still not really panicking. It's March. It's the tournament. Anything can happen. So if it's closer than I think, closer than many people expect, I won't be too nervous. Of course, there'll be a little bit of a shock, but still, it's a tournament. As I said, a win's a win, and I want to win. If we win, that's good enough for me.
I'm fine with winning by any margin. I think I've made that clear on a lot of occasions. Are you any concern that Tennessee may play down to their competition?
No. No, last time we saw them, they got absolutely spanked. Actually, more than spanked. Something a little rougher than a spank. They just got absolutely hosed.
We got nuked all the way back to Mesopotamia.
We did. We did.
All the way back to the Tigris River.
Sure.
In the cradle of civilization.
Sure.
All the way back.
It was terrible.
It was bad.
Terrible.
Hard to get owned any worse than that.
Yeah. So I don't see these boys playing down to anybody anytime soon.
865-546-8200. Let's head over to the Fan Run phone lines. Grab a call from PTR, who's on the line. PTR, good evening, sir.
What's up, gentlemen? I don't call you guys real often. I harass the other show from time to time, but y'all's conversation kind of intrigued me. I've been real lucky for 10, 15 years picking these early round upsets. And one year, I want to say it was 4 years ago, I picked 3 12-5s, 12s winning, and I got all 4 games right.
Ooh.
But I'm pissed right now. Now, I went back and forth on the Minnesota game, but I went the wrong way. And my last change, after about 7 times working the bracket through, I left it on Louisville. So that's on me. The Belmont game, I had Belmont. I think that's a bad beat. Belmont should have won that game. But I do have Murray State.
Hey, you're looking pretty good right now, man. They just went to break here. Murray State's still keeping a very comfortable lead. 6-0.
Oh, yeah, they just nailed the 3, got the charge, got the ball back. So, they're looking good.
You may be a little ahead of us here at the station. We were streaming here. What's the score now on your TV?
Oh, shoot, I just paused it when y'all fill the air so you wouldn't have to listen to it. Hold on a second.
Yeah, but either way, man, they're dominating. You feel good about that.
Yeah, they're up by 18.
Okay, that's what it still says here. Yeah, man, I only do two brackets, but I picked them at each. Cole, I think you picked Murray State in yours as well.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That was a pretty – that's why I'm hesitant to call it like a big upset. I mean, it's going to be one, but it's nothing coming out of nowhere. It's not your 15 over a 2. It's nothing like that, but – man, I love seeing John Morant on display so much. You can just see from this game why he's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA.
He could well be. That coach, I like that coach a lot, too. He's done well there. He'll probably get somewhere else. Anyway, have a great show, and have a good evening.
Hey, PTR, appreciate the phone call, brother. Yeah, this one's still on break here. This in the Kansas game, I think. Yeah, Kansas-Northeastern. It's a final. 87-53. Ah. Huh, poor Huskies.
Oh, well.
Do you know? Did I ask you this yesterday, but do you know where Northeastern is located?
You did not ask me this.
Can you guess?
Northeastern. Connecticut?
You're kind of close. It's in Boston.
Okay. I mean, with a name like Northeastern, I'm thinking New England.
Do you know the only reason I remember why Northeastern is in Boston?
Why?
So, in NCAA men's hockey, and I guess the women's hockey competes for this too, the four main Boston schools compete in this just a Final Four type of tournament thing in the middle of the season called the Bean Pot.
The Bean Pot?
It's basically the championship of Boston in college hockey.
Okay.
So, it's Northeastern, Boston University, Boston College, and Harvard.
Wow. What a lineup. So that's a pretty solid lineup,
and
right,
like,
there.
Northeasterns have like the worst run of luck of any of those schools. They have like the least amount.
No, so
why I remember.
Harvard has a hockey team?
Oh yeah.
I did not know that.
NCAA hockey team.
Ivy League schools have a hockey team?
I would assume.
It makes sense being where they are, but, interesting.
Yeah, they're set there in North, man. Hockey,
yeah, it's a
lacrosse, economy. They yeah. got it all up there.
They're very American and Canadian.
You know Tennessee has a hockey team, right? It's a club sport.
Well, a club, yeah, club. Man, I wish we had an official hockey
team. I'd love for like SEC hockey to be an officially sanctioned sport. How Dude. Badass
would
that
be? Oh,
that
would be so much fun.
I mean, the club sport team's already badass enough. They're the Ice Balls.
That is incredible.
Have you seen their uniforms?
I feel like I have,
they're kind of awesome.
I've seen them once or twice.
Kind of awesome, not going to lie.
I'm sure.
There's so many like Tennessee club sports I wish would be official.
I know.
So like I could have a vested interest in them.
Sure.
Like our rugby team. I love rooting for Tennessee rugby.
Yeah. If I had to pick one club team at UT to make an actual sport.
Bass fishing.
Oh, bass fishing, mm-hmm. Yeah. It would probably be hockey.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
I mean, because that's the only like major sport when you look at professional sports that isn't an actual team here at Tennessee. Hockey. We got everything else.
Well, don't have an official men's soccer team. Did you know that?
Well, I knew that. I meant like when I'm thinking of the four main sports, I'm thinking
the
U.S.
You're thinking of the big
like hockey,
leagues.
Football,
I
basketball,
gotcha.
Baseball.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But I soccer understand. Too. Soccer too.
So Murray State Marquette, the only game in action right now. Don't you worry, though. Coming up at 6:50, Florida-Nevada tipping off. This morning's bracket, the one I've spent more time thinking about, I did pick Nevada. Nevada 2.5-point favorite, by the way.
Florida against Florida?
Yeah.
I picked Florida in both. It hurt to do that, but I did.
Kind of not a bad decision, though.
No. I mean, the twins, I forget their name, but the twins up there.
Martin.
The Martin twins?
Yeah,
okay.
Caleb and Cody.
Yeah. They can play with pretty much anybody, but I just think the speed and the shooting of Florida could be a little much. You know, I'll make the same kind of case against Nevada that I've kind of made against Gonzaga. They don't really play in a very strong conference. So they'll, you know, if you
it's
have.
It's true. They didn't even win their conference tournament.
So if you
Utah
have,
State did.
Yeah. So if you have just a little bit of talent in that kind of conference, it makes you look like an elite team. You know, but when you don't play anybody, of course you're going to look like that.
20 minutes after Florida and Nevada tips off. You got the 2:15 matchup, Kentucky versus Abilene Christian. Kentucky without P.J. Washington.
Good.
P.J. Washington in a hard cast.
Good.
Dude, there's no way he's playing 2 days from now.
Yeah.
You can't just come out of a hard cast and be productive.
Yeah.
Any chance that Abilene Christian might pull this off?
No.
I don't know. Kentucky's still in the 20.
Do we know how much Reed Travis is supposed to play? Is he limited as well, or is he full go?
He started against Tennessee. I assume they're still going to start him. I don't know how many minutes he's going to play.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. If he doesn't play a lot tonight, I mean, maybe you know Abilene Christian would have a slight chance. But even still, I mean, Kentucky, even their bench players, man, they are just so good.
Rest of the games tonight, only two more I'm really intrigued in watching. You got St. Mary's Villanova, the 11-6 matchup at 7:20, and then 10-7 matchup, Seton Hall and Wofford at 9:40. I want to see if these Wofford Terriers are legit.
I do too.
Do you know the, I have to look up his name again, but Houston Davey, we're talking about this morning. Wofford's best player, he's like a handful of threes away from setting the all-time D1 record for three-pointers made in a career.
I saw that, yeah.
Fletcher McGee.
Yeah.
Is there a more Upper South Carolina name than Fletcher McGee?
It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it.
Hey there, Fletcher. What you going to do out there? Play some hoops? Play some b-ball, man?
Yeah, I saw, I think in, what conference are they in?
They're in the Southern.
Southern Conference, yes. Okay. I was watching the championship game of the Southern Conference.
Oh, we were. Yeah, they were playing UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they kept mentioning that guy, how close he was. Yeah. So, I hope he gets it.
Hey, he'll probably get it tonight.
Good.
All likelihood.
Good.
865-546-8200. Rolling on this abbreviated edition of Overtime. We got birthdays coming up next. Tess Cole's Knowledge. Don't want to miss it. Stay with us here on Overtime. Cole, we have an okay birthday today. It's okay. There's names you'll know.
All right.
There's a decent number. I saw four already.
Okay.
Let me make sure. Let's just maybe five. Let's go with five here. I'm gonna test you out this first one.
Okay.
How well do you know your all-time soccer grades?
Oh man, my knowledge of that is slim to none.
How about Brazilian ones?
I couldn't tell you where any of them are from.
Because this Brazilian is 39 years old today. He's a former soccer player. I'll tell you his pro teams he played for.
Okay.
He's played for Barcelona. He's played for Milan, PSG. But he's mostly known for being a star on the Brazil national team. He won the 2002 FIFA World Cup. He's a bigger star in the 2000s. And, of course, like all Brazilian greats, he only goes by one name.
Oh, goodness. Man, I have no clue. The only – was Pele Brazilian?
Yes, but that's not, the only, it's not Pele. Yeah. Pele's a lot older than 39.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho.
That sounds familiar. What
you
does he
probably
look like?
Recognize his face a little bit.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there we go.
I think he might have used to have been bald or had, like, shorter hair. Okay. That picture is of him with long hair.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Ronaldinho, Brazilian legend out there in the beautiful game. All right, that one might have been a little tough. We'll get into some ones you definitely have to know here.
Okay.
34 years old today, NFL running back for the Redskins, plays college football at Oklahoma.
Adrian Peterson.
That's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I forgot he went to Washington.
34, still going strong. Man. 61 years old today, he's an actor. Let me make sure his origin here. He is an English actor.
Okay.
61. Let's see his movie roles here. He has a lot of really started out in theater, but I will tell you he really came to fame in some movies here. He played Lee Harvey Oswald in JFK, Oliver Stone's JFK, 1991. He was Count Dracula in Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1992. Let's see. He's been in films such as True Romance, The Fifth Element, Air Force One, The Contender, Leon the Professional. He's also known for his role as Sirius Black in the Harry Potter film series.
I didn't watch those.
And James Gordon in the Dark Knight trilogy. He was in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He portrayed Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour. Just came out 2 years ago.
Gary Oldman.
You got it, Gary Oldman. Yes.
Yes.
Once I brought up Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you got it.
Love that movie.
57 years old today. She's an American media personality. She's been a panelist on a widely known daytime talk show. And before that, she also hosted her own show. Really been it. But I will say she was in the mid-2000s. She was one of the most controversial members of The View. had a feud with Donald Trump in the 2000s.
Rosie O'Donnell?
It is Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
That first presidential debate.
Ooh.
You've called women you don't like disgusting pigs. Fat, ugly. Only Rosie O'Donnell.
I love it.
Only Rosie. No one else but Rosie.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. I'll move on here for it. Just got off the deep end. 57 years old today. Oh, great American actor. Even if you don't actually know him or remember his name, you've certainly been touched by a role he has played.
Okay.
I will tell you, he is most known for these two roles. He was the title character in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and the voice of the adult Simba in The Lion King.
Oh, Matthew Broderick.
He is Matthew Broderick. Thank you. He's been in other movies such as War Games, Glory, The Freshman, The Cable Guy, Godzilla, 1998, Inspector Gadget. Man. Oh, he's also been in voice work for in a B movie.
Was he in a B movie?
He voiced something in a B movie.
Okay.
But really, he's Ferris Bueller and he's Simba.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need.
Matthew Dadgum Broderick, okay?
That's all you need.
That's important enough there. He's touched your childhood in some form or fashion.
He has. He really has. I'm just ready for the live action Lion King.
Do you think that'll be good?
I think it'll be fantastic. Man, I'm a big Lion King fan.
Man, I hope so. Hey, it's got a lot to live up to.
I'll tell you what else I'm looking forward to.
What's that?
Toy Story 4.
Yeah, everybody else is.
Toy Story 4.
Should they make this the last one?
Yes. Honestly, I'm a big Toy Story fan, but...
They probably should have stopped after the last one.
I think so, too. I'm looking forward to this one just because I love the franchise. But I saw a trailer the other night, and, like, the new character's name is Forky. And it's a spork that talks. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But his name is Forky, and he's got, like, what are they called? You know, like, the fuzzy little pipe cleaners and stuff. That's like his arms and legs, and they have like little like Fruit Loops or something for eyes. His name's Forky.
That just sounds dumb.
It does, but I mean, they still got Woody and the gang, so
At least they have that.
Yeah, so I'll see it, but Forky, I don't know how that's going to go.
This week has been the week for either movie or TV show announcements and trailers. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, even just yesterday. Let me run through what happened yesterday. Stranger Things Season 3.
Yes.
Debut trailer. Oh,
yes. Give it to me right now.
They had the teaser trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino's ninth movie.
Yeah.
Coming out this summer. Oh, my God. What a star-studded cast.
Yes.
Just right off the bat there, Brad Pitt and Leo. And then you got Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
As Sharon Tate, RIP.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be...
Can't wait.
I am very intrigued to see where Tarantino goes with that.
Yeah.
Because it's set around the Manson family murders, but there's not going to be a lot of Manson in the movie. But of course it's going to be involved because Sharon Tate got killed in those murders.
Yeah.
I don't know, Tarantino, man. I don't know what direction it's going to go.
Man, you know, it doesn't really feel like Stranger Things has been a thing for all that long.
They're already, like, almost adults.
Yeah, but watching the trailer yesterday, they are so grown up from what they were season one. So it's almost like
they're not even
people old.
That's the thing. They just finally hit puberty.
Yeah, I know. It kind of made me sad, honestly.
Finn, who plays Mike, he hit puberty like the last season.
Yeah,
so he was already grown up. Now Millie Bobby Brown has.
She has.
I bet this might be her last season. She's probably going to realize, okay, I'm too big for this now.
Yeah, I can do other things besides.
She's taking that Emma Watson trajectory, I think.
She is, yeah.
And not just because they're British child stars.
No, yeah.
It's very similar. Oh, and before I forget, too, the official announcement, not coming out till next year, but Bill and Ted 3.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, Keanu out there and Alex Winter. Old Keanu.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I already can't wait. Oh, I already can't wait this year. John Wick Chapter 3.
Yeah. Oh, quick update.
Oh,
John,
my God.
John Morant has got his 10th rebound.
So Let's go!
The first triple-double.
Let's go, John!
In the tournament since 2012, Draymond Green.
Is he about to get another assist here? No, he doesn't.
He has achieved triple-double
status,
though.
That is extremely impressive. That is extremely impressive to do that in the tournament.
Especially at a place like Murray State as a 12 seed.
Exactly.
Golly.
Maybe a big-time run coming up from the Racers this season. We shall see.
Yeah.
Last call to get on the program here, this abbreviated edition of the show, 865-546-8200. We're going to wrap up overtime for the week coming up next. Ja Morant, as we said, does have his triple-double. Murray State's going to cruise to a pretty big win over Marquette. They sink this free throw. They're going to go up 19. Up 19.
Yep.
Man, I didn't think it'd be like this. I thought it'd be a decent duel. Like, I really did.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to happen, though.
I mean, if anybody figured it would be this kind of blowout, I would say they'd pick the opposite outcome. Marquette over Murray State by 20 or whatever. I mean, 12 versus a 5, I don't really think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody really thought it'd be this bad. But, I mean, when you have arguably the second best player in college basketball on your team, he's going to make plays.
Real quick, we're going to do our pick for Tennessee Colgate tomorrow since we will not have a show. And even if we did have the show, the game will be over anyway.
Yeah.
It's only makes sense to do it. But before we do that, Cole.
Yeah.
I told you early in the show that I was going to talk about the news that came out that there was, in fact, going to be a sequel to Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it got scrapped.
Okay.
And I'm very thankful it did after reading about it.
Okay.
So, funny enough here, I'm just going to read the quick synopsis here. So, this is an interview. Yahoo did this interview with Eric Roth. He was one of the screenwriters for Forrest Gump. He got one of the 6 Academy Awards that the movie got.
Okay.
He filed a totally completed draft for Forrest Gump 2. Guess what day? September 10th, 2001.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
He said, after 9/11, the powers that be felt a sequel had no meaning anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh, bad timing.
Golly, bad timing. What could have been?
And Eric Roth, listen to this. I'm just going to get straight to the meat and bones here, Cole. Quote from Eric Roth. It was going to start with this little boy having AIDS. Little Forrest. Little Haley Joe Osment.
Golly. Don't do it to Haley Joe Osment.
Roth said, who recently earned his 5th Oscar nomination for co-writing last year's hit musical drama remake, A Star Is Born.
Mm.
Roth continued, quote, and people wouldn't go to class with him in Florida.
Oh, my.
Little Forrest, we had a... Listen to this. He said, we had a funny sequence where they were desegregation busing in Florida at the same time. So people were either angry about the busing or their kids having to go to school with a kid who had AIDS. So there was a big conflict. Cool, he said that was funny.
Golly.
I don't find that funny.
Oh, that is sick.
I know there was some dark stuff in Forrest Gump. I'm not going to pretend like there isn't. A lot of death in that movie, too. Dark stuff, death. I'm not going to pretend there isn't. But giving Haley Joe Osment AIDS?
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Come on, man.
It's pretty sick.
Can't Forrest have anything good in his life? Can't even have his boy?
Ah, man.
God.
Thanks a lot, Jenny. Thanks a lot,
Damn
Jenny.
Damn it, Jenny.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it?
Here's more from Roth. He said, literally, I turned it in the day before 9/11, and Tom and I and Bob got together on 9/11 to sort of commiserate about how life was in America and how tragic it was, and we looked at each other and said, this movie has no meaning anymore in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, good call by them.
There were some funny moments playing in the film. I told you earlier
that
there was a I'm just going to read Roth's quote here. Quote, I had him in the back of O.J. Simpson's Bronco.
That would have been something.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Then he said he would look up occasionally, but they didn't see him in the rearview mirror, and then he'd pop down.
So this movie would have been based on Forrest Jr.
Or anything like
Forrest Gump.
Forrest throughout the rest of the 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
It said also has him ballroom dancing with Princess Diana.
Oh, wow.
See, that stuff would have been funny.
That would have been cool, yeah.
And here's something really bad. This is the main reason why they scrapped it, because of the timing with 9/11.
Uh-oh.
Ross said he meets on a bus a Native American woman and finds his calling as a bingo caller on a reservation. So of course, would have been a bingo caller on a reservation.
Okay.
And the big event in that, which you could see was diminished only in tragedy, I guess, because it's the same tragedy. But every day he'd go wait for his Native American partner. She taught nursery school at a government building in Oklahoma City. Let me see where I'm going.
Oh, no.
And he was sitting on the bench waiting for her to have lunch, and all of a sudden the building behind him blows up. So when 9/11 occurred, everything felt meaningless.
Yeah, I could see that.
This is awful!
It's insane. That is nuts.
Forrest Jr. has AIDS?
Yeah, I don't know about
Oklahoma
that.
Oklahoma City bombing? OJ's Bronco? What the hell?
Yeah, that's... Ooh. Yeah, that's serious stuff right there.
Awful type of stuff, man. Yeah. Ooh, I thought I'd have to share that with you.
Aren't you
glad that didn't happen?
Yes, in a way, yes.
So, you know Forrest Gump was based off a book, right?
Yeah.
Do you know there is actually a sequel book?
I did not know that.
But it wasn't like the same type of thing. The sequel book was made from the perspective of Forrest Gump being a real person, and he's reacting to the movie about his life.
Oh.
And, like, he meets Tom Hanks.
Oh, really?
I read the little synopsis about it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's that. Real quick, Cole, Tennessee calling it tomorrow. Give me a score.
Tennessee wins. Vols 77, Colgate 60.
I think Colgate makes it frustrating in the first half. Frustrating underdog. Tennessee is eventually going to pull away in the second half. 74-61, Tennessee.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'll take any win I can get here. Murray State about to finish up their game against Marquette here. About to win by around 20 here. But that's going to do it this week for overtime. For Cole McCormick, I'm Tanner Carson. We will be with you to recap the action. Hopefully a Tennessee advancement to the Sweet 16 on Monday.
Well, when you're sitting back